You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Times Higher Education podcast. Today we'll be talking about data and how it's changing the way universities behave and make decisions. First, I'll be speaking with our Director of Data and Analytics, Duncan Ross, and then we'll hear from a few university strategists after a Times Higher Education Data Masterclass at King's College in London. First, though, here's Duncan Ross talking about the immediate need for better use of data by universities and higher education systems around the world.
I think it'd be interesting for you to start off kind of just explaining what you're doing right now and why why I'm talking, if you work in the same office, why you're in a car. So, Duncan, what are you doing right now?
Right now, I'm driving down to the airport to jump on a plane to Singapore so we can talk to parts of the Singapore government about how we can look at measuring impact and innovation.
And this is something, I mean, this is kind of a regular event for you. You're constantly jumping on different planes, going to various places around the world to talk to universities and governments about how they can better use data and measure student performance.
Absolutely. And mainly at the kind of institutional level. So when you think about the way that universities could use data, there's kind of the overall picture. You know, how's my university doing? Are we addressing the right issues? Are we researching the right things? But there's also the more detailed level, which we don't really do, which is how can I understand individual students' behavior or individual academics' behavior.
I'm interested to hear how the use of data has evolved and the measuring of data has evolved in the past. It seems like 5 years, big data has become the term that everybody is talking about and something that everybody is chasing. Is that a fair assessment of the landscape of data collection and the use of it in higher education?
I think in higher education, yes. In the wider space, big data really became a thing in 2010 after McKinsey brought out a fantastic report on the volumes of data that were available. And it's been a gradual move in the commercial world for the last 20 years. But really, what we've seen over the last, I'd say, 5 or so years is the cost of computing and calculation has come down. The volume of data has gone up. And people are actually being very serious about, well, if we don't use this data to gain insights, then how can we be sure that we're doing the best that we possibly could? And how can we ensure that our competitors don't get an advantage over us?
So do you think universities are using data more to their advantage as they are trying to become more business-like, leaner enterprises?
Well, business-like is kind of, can be used in a kind of pejorative way in the profit sector. But essentially, what it's about is finding ways to deliver more effectively on whatever your key objectives are. Now, if you're a university, your key objectives might be, for example, producing the best research we can. It might be around teaching students as effectively as we can. It might be around ensuring that the work we do has the maximum impact in the world. Then, sure, you can do that just on gut feel, but all the evidence shows that if you can use the data that's available to you, you can make better decisions, you can make predictions that help you effectively do all of those things much more powerfully.
And what are some of the things that universities are getting right so far? I mean, we've mentioned student performance, research output. What are ways like success stories that data is already helping universities?
So, I mean, a great example is looking at how to understand who you should be cooperating with. You know, a lot of the world of universities now isn't the world of an isolated professor in his Ivy covered study doing stuff just thinking by himself. It's about fantastic professor, and she's reaching out across the world. She's collaborating with multiple institutions to do groundbreaking research. So this idea that everything is insular is evaporated. But if that's the case, who should you be working with? You know, where are there the opportunities to do truly cross subject and cross institutional research? And so, you know, using data to explore that is clearly a very positive way forward.
And in your travels and speaking to different institutions around the world, what are some of the challenges? I mean, what are they not getting right?
I mean, there are lots of core challenges on the student side, partly because one of the missing pieces is frequently where students go after they leave, but what do they do? Not just for the ones who are successful, because frankly, those are the ones who tend to keep in contact with their alma mater, but also the ones who are less successful. So trying to frame that, trying to understand destinations and outcomes, which then enables you to shape how you're teaching. You know, classic examples around the world are, and this comes up both in the developed world but also in the developing world, is how do we tackle inequality? How do we ensure that people from across the spectrum can access our universities and get the best possible education from them?
And how can data do that? How can data ensure there's greater access?
Well, the first thing data can do is shine a light on whether or not you're providing good access or not. There are a number of different ways of measuring that. A great proxy that we use in the US college rankings is a proportion of first-generation students, so students where no one in their immediate family has been to university before. And that's a fantastic proxy for all kinds of income and racial inequality. And if you see that, the first step is, well, am I doing a good enough job? The second step then is going deeper and saying, well, what techniques, what strategies could I approach to actually address that?
You mentioned earlier that computing is becoming a lot more, it's just faster and just a lot easier to access for any normal layman and a lot more affordable. But I'm wondering, what is there a risk that universities won't get this right? And what is at risk if universities really don't figure out how to measure what they're offering to students?
Well, I mean, the risk is one that they're already bearing, which is effectively they are throwing money away on things that don't work, and that is a betrayal of the core objectives of any institution, but particularly in the not-for-profit sector. You know, if your mission is to educate the people of your country, and you're not delivering on that mission, that's a calamity. So that risk is already there. I mean, there are some specific challenges around ensuring that when you do things, you don't build biases in, you don't perpetuate existing biases. But if you approach things in a sensible way, that those challenges can be dealt with. And one of the advantages universities have there, of course, is that they already have well-established ethical frameworks. Research is based on the concept of having the ethical review to make sure that what you're doing won't adversely impact people. Well, you can apply that to data as well.
And that was Duncan Ross, our Director of Data and Analytics. Now, it might be easy for us to get excited about the richness of information we're now able to collect on any activity you do at a university, but when I spoke with university analysts and strategists at a recent THE Data Masterclass, they also mentioned the practical hurdles that can come with such a breadth of data.
Hi, I'm Richard Salter. I'm the Director of Analytics at King's College London.
And how has King's been able to use data specifically to inform some of the strategies that you guys are looking at?
So we're going through a process at the moment where we have a new vision up until 2029, and we are using a whole range of sort of data sources to try and look at what the kind of size and shape of the university is going to be at that point. So that's across a whole range of sort of different areas in terms of kind of volume of activity, but also sort of quality, areas of particular kind of emphasis or priority over that period. And we are bringing in a lot of external data sets so that we can kind of benchmark our current performance, both in terms of the national picture and globally, to make sure we're kind of making informed decisions about what the right balance is between kind of ambition and realism.
So you're using it to forecast, it sounds like, for the next 10 years.
Yeah, so we have a sort of model of kind of growing complexity, which is able to take in sort of data sets from different kind of sources to enable us to kind of do that kind of what-if scenario planning.
Mm-hmm. And is this something that's different? I mean, is this something that higher education institutions maybe weren't doing 10 years ago? Or has it just gotten better?
I think it was being done probably, but it was in quite a kind of ad hoc way that wasn't particularly kind of sustainable or repeatable. And I think we were sort of tending maybe a decade or so ago to analyse sort of data within the silo. So we'd look at maybe kind of student data in isolation or research data in isolation or finance data in isolation. And I think now there's a better understanding that being able to effectively warehouse that information enables us to kind of get a much more rich picture of what's kind of going on and to understand the interrelationships between kind of different activities. So if hypothetically we were planning on kind of growing activity in one area, that we could sort of look across a whole range of different data domains and understand what the potential kind of implications might be.
And what are some of the challenges? I mean, big data is a kind of hot topic right now, but what would you say are some of the biggest challenges for universities specifically to kind of crack that and wrangle it and use it in some sort of useful way?
So I think one of the biggest challenges is around kind of master data or the lack of it. So not essentially being able to kind of connect up kind of those data sources particularly easily. And therefore kind of getting back into the very sort of manual interventionist sort of based approach in order to try and kind of bring data sets together. I think there's a challenge in terms of the availability of the necessary skill sets of people that we kind of require. And traditionally universities have expected people in this space to be able to kind of do the whole kind of gambit, from being able to kind of do some almost DBA style stuff, do the ETL, the extraction, the transformation load, be able to kind of visualize the sort of data in a report, be able to do the analysis and then go to the committee and present the results and say this is what it means. And you know, and there are some very talented people who can do all of those things, but increasingly having greater levels of specialism within that enables the team to be a lot more kind of efficient and effective. And I think just across all sectors there's a sort of demand for those sorts of people is outstripping supply, and certainly as London-based institutions there are other sectors that we would struggle to kind of compete with in terms of recruiting and retaining staff, so that's definitely one of the kind of challenges too. And it's also, I think the universities traditionally have a lot of governance around, you know, their major assets are their staff and their estate. The governance around the other major asset being the data is still sort of developing, and I think they're more alert to it now than they maybe were kind of certainly 5 or 10 years ago, and really seeing the data as sort of an asset that the university really needs to leverage to deliver on its mission.
It's obviously a fast-paced developing sector and part of higher education becoming increasingly more integral. If you are doing your own sort of forecasting and seeing in the next 10 years what how data could really inform something at King's and really make it a much more efficient or better source university, what would be like your wish list?
So I think this sort of the wish list really extends to kind of empowering both the sort of students and staff to access the information they need to in order to assess their own kind of performance, kind of see themselves within the wider context. And that could be an academic who can kind of assess their publication strategy compared to other people within that field. That could be a student who could look at where their balance of time was kind of within their sort of learning and what they felt was kind of more or less effective. I suppose how we see BI is absolutely not just about equipping kind of a small group of people at the very top of the organisation with information. It's about having information that's scalable, that enables people to look at it in the way that makes sense to them, and to, you know, make that something that's open to all stakeholders from the university, both internal and external.
So my name is Martine Carter. I'm from the University of Surrey. I'm the Director of Strategy and the Senior Executive Officer to the Vice Chancellor there.
When we're talking about big data, which is a trendy term right now, and it means a lot of things, but I'm interested to know if it's something that your university has been able to really kind of crack and figure out how to use it as a way to inform your strategies.
I think to say we've cracked it would probably be a bit of a bridge too far, but we're certainly using it more in order to drive strategies, and in areas which are data rich, we're doing more than others. And as I think actually has been said in some of the things we've heard today, that it's been more about looking at the UK's data rich, so it's understanding how we can apply what we're trying to do in terms of information about UK students and UK higher education environment, and how you tie that into what's going on in the international markets and the international domain. That's probably the bigger challenge in terms of getting to data on that.
And do you think if we're looking at this in kind of a historical context, I mean, do you think that as a result of that, your university is more efficient, more accurate now than it was maybe 5 or 10 years ago because of this wealth of information that we now have?
It's probably, in some levels, we've been able to focus much more in order to be able to, based on that data, and to make good decisions. But in other ways, having more data just also generates more work and more thoughts, and you can be paralysed by too much information. So we can almost analyse out every problem, but ultimately, if you don't make a decision based on that analysis, it doesn't change anything. So in some ways, it's also changing the behaviours and the culture in an organisation to be able to take those decisions based on numerical information, even when it's going against what your gut is telling you might be the right thing to do. And sort of the heart's mind's thing is quite challenging as well.
And just in terms of, I guess, staying on top of it and maintaining that momentum that you've already got right now, how are you planning to do that?
I think that's a difficult one. It's very much a kind of keep going, keep plugging away, keeping the wider organization's understanding of the data up as well. So if you go away and then come out of your hole every 6 months and people are kind of shocked by what you're showing them. So it's continuing to sort of build on it incrementally and keep building up what you're working on and finding the quick wins and the people who will want to hear it as well. So finding your champions, so understanding which members of your board want to make decisions in that way and building around them, and then you build the case, other people see how it works, and you keep going and keep going. So rather than spreading yourself too thinly, focusing on the kind of key problem areas you've got where you think you can actually get some traction and get sort of momentum out of it. It's such a big challenge that if you try to do it all, you'd never get there. So sort of focusing your skill sets on where you think it's going to have an impact is the key.
I think it'd be interesting to hear if you've got like a case study where you could tell me where a specific data set that you've used, or maybe over a series of collecting data over years that have really shown you something that you would have never been able to capture in maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah, so a particular one that we spent a lot of time focusing on has been around progression retention of students. So we spent a lot of time really getting under the data, understanding where students don't, you know, finish the course and why they don't, both for academic and non-academic reasons, and looking at all those different things and really being able to have a much better sense of the student on day one, what extra support they need, what direction, what help they need based on the grades they came in with, the type of the subjects they studied, the kind of qualification they've got, so whether it's a baccalaureate or a BTEC versus A-levels and all that sort of thing, in order to be able to focus the support on those students and to know based on their early module outcomes where they're likely to end up and what we need to do to try and bring them back on track. And that sort of data we've never had in the past. We've never been able to really understand it. We did lots of good things, but it was always a scattergun approach of chucking all these interventions at it. With that information, we've been able to be much more focused, change how the qualifications we accept on, and then understand what you need to do to support students if you are taking them with different types of qualifications. So it's been a much more targeted approach, and easy. It's a problem and it's solved sort of thing, and it makes it easier for people to engage with because they can see the purpose of what you're trying to do and what you're sharing with them.
Yeah, the positive outcomes from it and the difference that it can make.
Yeah, and it's not an overwhelming data set, it's not overwhelming amounts of information. You can direct them very neatly to the problem and then a solution.
Yes, I'm Lucian Hudson, Director of Communications at the Open University, where I've been Director of Communications for the past 7 years.
And can you tell me about how data specifically enhances the Open University's strategy? And maybe some ways that it's a bit of a challenge to wrangle the data because there's so much out there now, how you're kind of staying on top of that and really using it to inform strategies and decisions that you make.
Data for us is both awesome and potentially enormously rewarding, of course. Data has to be important for an institution that operates at our scale and our reach. We are still the UK's, if not Europe's, largest university with more than 170,000 students. For us, it's really important to understand our students, understand why they want to study with us, why they continue to study with us, and also important for us, obviously, to make the case for the university in terms of us generating other income that doesn't just come from students alone. So we need to have data that's reliable. Data that gives us insight, obviously, into students, but data that gives us insight into some choices that we make, strategic and tactical, as to where we need to recruit in terms of our student growing our student population, but also data that we can use to make the case for part-time education and flexible learning. So for various reasons, data tells you, or at least informs you, as to where the opportunities are. Mm. Like with all data, you need to analyse it, you need to assess it. I don't think data tells you what to do, but it informs decisions. And obviously with that data, you can then have a good, have a best estimate as to where the business opportunities and threats might be. And we are wanting to grow in many areas now. It's important for us to become the leading provider of apprenticeships, degree apprenticeships. We are already a big provider. We want to become a bigger one. That's an important market for us and other HEIs, and we want to make sure that we target our effort appropriately.
Hmm.
Data, for me, needs to have integrity. So it's important you know the source of the data, that the data can be trusted, it can be relied on. You need to also be able to interrogate it. You need to be able to really get to those segments of the market that are most important to you.
Has the Open University, are you struggling as the technology increases and the amount of data that people are able to collect, and just in terms of analyzing it and really verifying it, is this something that you think the OU is on top of, or is it something that you struggle with?
Well, I mean, the OU takes data seriously. It's important for us in terms of having insight. My colleagues, I mean, we're all in the business of learning, not just our students. So I think this is a whole area where knowing what best practice is, knowing where new developments are, how you can understand data better, how you can capture it differently, how you can use it more effectively, we ought to be in the market of. So if there is intelligence of that sort, that's clear an area that we want to explore more.
Mm.
And it's really good coming to a conference like this to have my eyes opened as to how data is important internationally, how it raises the stakes in terms of opportunities, and how you need to be on top of that in order to target opportunities more effectively.
Mm.
So to that extent, we can't be complacent, and we can learn from events like today's.
And that's all we've got time for today. Thanks for tuning in. If you've got any questions or suggestions for the podcast, do get in touch by emailing sarah.custer@timeshighereducation.com. We'll see you next week.
You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.